Ladies and gentlemen, good morning, good evening, and good day, wherever you're from, wherever you're listening to. Welcome back to another episode of Rise from the Ashes. And if you're just tuning in now, please subscribe, share, and give somebody an opportunity to hear a positive message today. My next guest, her name is Alison Wheeler. She is in the land down under in Australia. And at the moment, she is struggling with floods and chaos all around her. Alison, please introduce yourself to the world. And what do you do?
Thanks, Bez, for having me on your podcast. And yes, we have had some very treacherous weather, to say the least, over the last week, basically. So I am a business coach. I'm a wife, a mum, a dog mum as well. I've been an athlete for most of my life as well. And so what I do predominantly now, or what I do now, is I am a business coach. So I help people build their businesses, create more revenue, ultimately create more freedom in their life. And for me, the reason that I'm extremely passionate about helping people create more freedom, because I think it creates generational change. For me, that's changing the family unit to be a more positive unit, to be a more successful unit, to be a more stable place for people to enjoy each other in their home and to demonstrate to your children of what's possible. And I think when small businesses are going well, our communities do better, it provides better jobs, all of those things. So that is why I do what I do. And I've been doing that for about 13 years now in various shapes and forms and iterations along the way.
Awesome. So why did you first start the business of coaching? You say mentioned legacy, which I love. I stand for, I create legacies and help people create uber wealth, not just for themselves, but for the companies and for their future, building that legacy. But why do you focus on legacy and building the communities?
I think because my original background, going back several years, I'm an occupational therapist by profession. And when I finished my degree, I didn't just want to do what everyone else was doing. I did that through uni and I thought, wow, this is not what I'm on this planet for. I appreciate what everyone else does, but there's got to be we need to be able to impact more people. We have to be able to work with people to, you're the center of your own universe. So help more people to create what they actually want and live the way they actually want. Because as an occupational therapist, really, ultimately, you're helping people be the locus of their own control. So the middle of their own, and know that, whatever that is, whether that's putting on a pair of shoes through to building a multi-million dollar business, whatever, the end point is different for everybody as to what they want to achieve. So I guess that's always been helping, and that has always been something I've been passionate about. When I grew up, also watching my father's struggles. He had two kidney transplants. He was a runner and he really wanted to do so much more, but he was held back from being able to do that. So and seeing my family not have the freedom that they wanted to for all of those holdbacks, I think set me up to want to do things differently. And I've always just had that inner drive to want to do that, to want to do things differently, and to know how much, particularly financial freedom, makes to a family. I certainly saw what it does when you don't have it, and how that can really cause so many problems within a family and within a household, and cause arguments, cause things that just don't need to be there if you can get that area of your life dialed in. As an occupational therapist too, I worked within a lot of businesses within the change element and saw a lot of businesses not doing the right thing by their employees, or not causing environments that were positive for employees to flourish and do well. Throughout all of those experiences, I think that's just caused a drive to be able to move forward. And then one of my experiences as an occupational therapist as well, I was working for someone else. I felt like they weren't necessarily being true to what their word and what they were saying they could provide versus what they could provide. I left that job. That didn't, when I left that job, it didn't, they weren't very happy that I was leaving. And just seeing how, when the importance of standing up for what's right as well, no matter what the consequences are, I think those experiences have me to where I am today. And I started coaching out of leaving that job originally, because after that I was like, I'm not working for people like that, or I don't even know that I'll ever work for anyone else again after that experience. I thought, this is ridiculous, right? Like, people, what are people thinking? Like, surely I can do a better job than that. So that's where I then branched out on my own and have taken several different business iterations.
That's a lovely story. And I like the fact that you stood up for what was right in your, and you felt within your heart. It's a very challenging thing to do sometimes when the whole world is against the narrative and you're like, I believe in this. And then you've got to step forward and say, this is what I truly believe. What were the key lessons in that for you? When the experience started to unfold, what were the key takeaways for you within that, from going to corporate and the occupational therapy into entrepreneurship? Because that is a big shift in not just in your personal life, but also in every walk, every space of your life.
Yeah. The key takeaways, was it?
Yeah. What did you learn from it? What was the inspiration afterwards of looking back on it now, a few years later, saying, oh, that's why I did it, that's what I did, and the evaluation of what did I learn from that experience? Because it may help someone else going through this transition right now.
Yeah, so I've done this more than once. So the first time was leaving job security to create my own. That was the first sort of phase. And then I was involved with a network marketing company for many years and built that to be the top distributor in the world in that company. And then similar situation, found that my values were not in alignment with where the company owners wanted to take it. The higher you often get up in a company like that too, you can see a lot of things that you can't see when you're in the beginning. Like, you can live off and faith for a long time, but then there has to be things that come after that. So I did very well successfully, but yeah, it was time to do a values realignment. So I left that, which was, again, very difficult to do. I think in both of those situations, there's this golden handcuffs that tie you and this hope of, oh, I think it could be better. Maybe I could sweep those things under the carpet and not notice them. But what I've learned and what I learn out of those is those value, those out of alignment values, they cause a level of irritation within yourself spiritually and then physiologically, and often then will lead to things like burnout. Or my way of coping with things like that is I just work more because I try and overcompensate for what it is with more work. Now, that's great for results, but there's consequences to that to every other area of your life, health, my relationships, those that were important to me. And both of those times, there were very serious health consequences and relationship consequences in those as well. Losing friends the second time around, my marriage was strained because I just wasn't spending any time in that, creating that. My daughter thought I was angry all the time. So being able to be willing and have the courage to sometimes jump without a plan, and it's very scary to do. I would always what I've learned is not to jump without knowing I've done everything I could to sort that situation out, because that's part of an ethical practice for me. I think golden handcuffs are something that ties people quite heavily to something, and it can also keep people very miserable. I had a huge learning curve because there's a big difference between being an employee and being an entrepreneur. They're not the same thing at all. Learning about delayed gratification as well. So putting that work in all the time, being comfortable with uncomfortable. Although I do think that most people, I speak to people all the time, right? So there's people who are uncomfortable in their life anyway, but they've just got used to it. They've got used to living that. I'd rather choose to be uncomfortable in growing something that I want versus uncomfortable in something that I don't really want, right, when I can change it. So just, I think, learning that, one, I can take a stand for what I believe in, and that's really important. Two, golden handcuffs are not a good enough reason to stay somewhere when it's not in alignment with your values. And if you stay out of alignment with your values for long enough, you will burn out.
No, I agree with that. It takes courage to be vulnerable in any situation. And I love entrepreneurs like yourself, because you're uncomfortable. It's going to be difficult and the road isn't going to be straight and easy, but you do it anyway. What is one of your company's distinctions that makes it so unique to you? And how can you recount specific incidences that highlights the unique aspects of what you do for your clients and in your life?
I think part of probably one of those uniqueness is assisting people to be very clear on what they want. Because I ask people all regularly, business owners regularly, well, what is it that you want? And so often the answer to that question is either I don't know or I want to be successful, neither of which are very defined, right? What does that mean? And I'll say that, what does that mean? Oh, specifically, how can you have a goal that has no specificity? What does that actually mean? Because success to everybody is so different. What is success to you as an individual? So for me, one of the most important things, I think, is helping people really define what on earth it is they want specifically. Because as I've been an athlete my whole life, I know how important it is to have a specific goal that you are heading towards. Now, you might have to take multiple roads to that goal, and knowing that is generally the case. Like you said, it's never, success is not a straight line. One of those is helping people get very clear on the goal, very clear on their strategic pathways to that goal, and taking the time to do that, like not brushing over that, being able to ask the uncomfortable questions, being able to sit there with a person through their difficulties, but see their greatness and not buy into someone's BS, for want of a better way to put it. Because often people will throw up a lot of cloaks and daggers of what they can't do, or what all sorts of reasons to not pursue what they want. Or so that's important. That's something that I do focus on, and that I have people focus on a lot. And that I know people can achieve way more than they think they can. And that, again, that it's just a pillar of that. And then obviously you've got the actual mechanics of the sales and marketing training, leadership training. So elevating people as an individual, because a business will never outgrow an individual. So working with people on their mindset as well as their actual strategy, because both go hand in hand.
Of course. I love that, because what you're doing is combining your knowledge and skills as an athlete in your former life into what you're doing today. And it's a part of being that successful entrepreneur. And I love what you said about define what success is to you, because that is an individual comprehension of a lifestyle that you want. And if you're going through that stage now and you're listening to this going, what the hell's success? I tell you what it isn't. It isn't money. It isn't fame. It isn't a flash car. Ask yourself the question, and a deeper question, to figure out what it is for you without being materialistic. Gratitude plays a major part in our lives and in our growth and elevation. Is there anybody that is had a pivotal role in your life, whether it be a mentor or a former colleague, family member, that you are really thankful for, that helped you gain the clarity you have on your life today, what you share with the world today? And could you please share that story?
Yeah, so probably more, I couldn't say one, there's a few. So I would say I have a huge amount of gratitude to my parents, particularly my mum, who is very stable. Her purpose in life was to have kids and to rear her children. So we always had a lot of love. could never say we didn't have that. And I'm forever grateful for that. My dad was my athletic inspiration. And we had a very tight unit around sport. Although we didn't necessarily have a lot materialistically, we had that. And so I think he inspired me in a lot of ways. He also taught me, because he had different viewpoints in life, I think that's where I learned to stand up for my own viewpoint as well, even in the face of adversity, because that's what he did. So I have a lot of gratitude to my parents. I have huge gratitude as well to my husband, because he puts up with me. But he also believes in me as well, even when I don't. And you need champions, right? You have to have a champion in your corner. And he's like the stable datum in my world, whereas I can be up and down all over the place. Welcome to the life of an entrepreneur. But he's like, he can keep that kind of status quo of no matter what's going on. You can do this, keep going. So I'm very truly grateful for him as well. And probably one of my more recent mentors getting through when I jumped from my last business or left my last business was Grant and Elena Cardone. And the 10X Mentor book was something that saw me through that tough time. And having been able to meet them and spend time in Florida, I think normalizing the way I live my life. And when you feel validated as an individual and the way that you live your life becomes normalized, it allows you the space to do more of that instead of fighting against what is the thinking of average thinking, really, and thinking, wow, I must be broken. Something's wrong, right? Like, why is my level of this seems to be so far from what is the norm? But I think most entrepreneurs are painted with that brush to some greater or lesser degree, or at least have that within them. They would be the people that I would pay gratitude to.
I've actually had the privilege of meeting Grant. The organization is phenomenal, so I'm glad you mentioned them. People who have mentors, any successful people, businesses, or celebrities have always had mentors guiding them into a level of success that they've defined for them. Now, I love what you mentioned there about the gratitude for the people, because a lot of us who are elevating in our own worlds forget to pause and go, I'm really grateful for, and actually speak it out loud, and then realize and accept where they've come from and what they've achieved. I do this 3 or 4 times a year. Every quarter, I'll sit down with a chart, a flip chart, and I'll just go through what I've achieved, what I've done, what I've missed, but equally where I want to go to next. And it's not a vision board. It's a gratitude board, because when I'm writing it, I write it as it already is. This has been done. This has been done. I'm grateful for it. And then I'll go back the next quarter and assess that. It's a very powerful way of having a brainstorming session with yourself, but also accepting the gratitude of what is and what is going to be before it actually physically takes place. You mentioned something earlier about energy. Before it's manifested, before anything comes into this reality, it has to start from somewhere. It starts with a thought, a vibrational frequency. And the studies done by people like Joe Dispenza, who else? A few others, Greg Braden, Rob Wogan, some others as well in that space, have really been instrumental to people's successes. But equally, there's resilience in all this as well, and courage. And this is why this podcast exists. It's the resilience, hence rise from the ashes, because we all have one of them stories. How would you define resilience in your life?
I think that I learned resilience through growing up and like early and through sport. So for me, it's been able to lose gracefully and come back from a loss quickly, because it's not that you won't lose, it's that you can come back from a loss. You will lose, and you will lose again, and you will lose again. And understanding that a loss is not a loss of dignity or yourself, or it's a loss of something, but one can come back from that. And so I think resilience is your ability to come back from a loss and redefine it quickly. And resilience is also tying yourself to your goals and not the vehicle. Because if you have your identity tied up in a vehicle, the thing you are doing, you can suffer far greater in a loss than if you, as an individual, if we tie ourselves to the goal and tether ourselves to the goal, then we can move more fluidly through those losses.
I love that. Courage and resilience. Courage is frequently compared to resilience in a lot of aspects of life. How do you perceive the similarities and the difference between these two qualities?
Courage and resilience. Courage, I feel, comes far. It's a drive, right? It's a drive, internal drive that comes deep from within. And which I do think is quite different from resilience. Again, I think resilience is your ability to continue. Courage is your ability to start. Courage is your ability to do, to stand up and to find your why. And often, again, it can be no one else might understand what it is. It's to that courage to go to take the step. It's the energy that goes, yes, I'm going to take that action step despite my fear, despite all of that. And then the resilience is the part that helps you continue.
I love that. Is there anything that you would have ever been told is defined as impossible, yet you've gone, I'm going to do it anyway?
Yep. In terms of impossible, mm-hmm. Yes. In my network, when I was in network marketing, I had a goal to have a $200,000 profit month. And even the company owners told me that was crazy, right? Like, it's not even possible. I'm like, all right, watch me. So I did. So that, number one, I've done that. And that was like, they didn't even believe their vehicle could do that. And then in terms of impossible, I think in my sporting, that probably came from my own thinking, but then the voices in your head are not your own, right? There's someone else's that you've agreed with. So clearly I'd heard that before, but my last sporting pursuit, I started figure bodybuilding. I wanted to transform myself, my life, my body, blah, blah, blah. I wanted to be comfortable in my own skin. I didn't want to teach my daughter bad body habits. So I thought, what a better way than to have to stand on stage in heels in a tiny little bikini and be judged by someone else. I'm like, surely that's going to get me over my stinking thinking. And so why not go to the extreme? I'll push it to the limits and see where that goes. And I wanted to win my pro card. So I thought that is the, because that's the far as you can go in a federation until you go overseas. So I thought, all right, that seems like a great way to overcome this. And so against a lot of people thinking, I was completely nuts. What are you doing at 40 doing this? As if you can change your body because hormones, blah, blah, blah. Thought, no, bugger you. So I did, and I won my pro card with Miss Fitness Australia. And that was against a lot of naysaying.
I love that. And it's one of the common traits for, I often see people say, you can't do it. And there's an underlying of hold my beer, watch me. And ultimately the person that says you can't gets told to sit down and have a conversation with himself eventually. But the person who is going through the journey of, I'm going to do this, the growth is exponential. And it's not just about proving somebody else wrong. It's about proving yourself to yourself that it is possible. And I won't go into the story now. There's a story of Roger Bannister when he broke the 4-minute mile, blah, blah, blah. Up until that point, everybody who tried it failed. And when he was asked afterwards in the interview, privately, someone said to him, so what made it possible? He said, up until that moment, I knew it was possible. I'd never done it, but I had an underlying feeling that it was possible. And consequently, he went to break it, and then many other people have broken it since then because they've seen it done once. What the mind does, and it collaborates with the body and the physiology and the energy from it, comes in, and you become invincible because someone set you a challenge, and you've gone, I'm going to do it. That's it. But it is adversity, it is overcoming something that is difficult but not impossible. How have you developed, how other of you developed resilience within your life? And has there been an informative experience that really contributed to your success today?
I think, again, when I was, my first sport was athletics. We started athletics as a family, and because my dad was a runner, I was about, I'm trying to think how old I would have been, maybe around 8 or 9, so quite young. And we were pretty good running team. I was in a 4x100 relay and we were creaming it. Like, and this was to qualify to go to like a equivalent of a state championship type thing from our little town. And I damaged my Achilles tendon in that race. And I was the first runner and we were so far ahead. And then I couldn't run in this. We qualified because we won and I couldn't go. Because I could go and I could watch because I damaged my Achilles tendon so badly. Now, that was devastating because I was also in the top netball team and I couldn't play anymore. And that was when I had to develop something deep within me. And I think that too, because that was when also back then standardized treatments for things were pretty normal, right? And a bit of strap it up, she'll be right too, which it wasn't later. I've had to have an Achilles reconstruction because it was so damaged. But that was when I had an amazing physio. My parents found an amazing physio. And that was a couple of physios later, and got me back to be able to play sport and run and do all of those things. Long road, but got there. And I think what I really learned out of that is there is always an answer. There is always an answer. You might have to find multiple people or multiple ways, but there is always a solution to a problem. And it is a matter of if you do never, ever give up on the goal and the knowing that you can find a solution, you will find a solution. And that I learned that at 8 or 9 through that adversity. And I've held that strong, I think, ever since. And so then I just, and it's an unshakable belief that I will find an answer. And that was something that was through an adversity at a really young age.
I love that. I find athletes, and I've coached a couple pro athletes in my time, and I love coaching people like that because they're a different breed. They just won't take no for a goddamn answer. They'll just continue and continue until they get the job done. And I've also suffered an Achilles tendon incident, so I know how painful that is, and I know how long the recovery can be. So I sympathize you with that. Mastering your dream. You mentioned earlier that things, you have dreams, you have aspiration. What's the next level for you? Where do you see yourself? I know you're an author, and the book is called Living Inside Out. Is that correct?
Living from the Inside Out, yeah. The modern day Wonder Woman. Yes.
So I would love the links for that to put into the description and send it out for. If you're listening to this now and you're this far in, go and click on the link. Don't hesitate. Pause it. Click on the link. Go and buy the book. Stop being stingy and get something else out of somebody else's knowledge because it may change your life. But please continue. I always say this because people don't do it. They're like, yeah, I'll do it later. Do it now. Pause. Come back to this. Go and get the book. So what's your next level, Alison? What do you want to achieve in your world, in your life, for yourself?
Yeah, look, for me, building up my speaking side of things as well to be able to impact more people. I am heavily involved in the 10X community as well as a 10X coach as well as my own coaching. I would love to see and bring that vision or that way of thinking into Australia and, well, Australia and New Zealand because I go to both. So being able to impact down under for really changing people's lives from that level. So I think that's where I'm heading. Obviously, my own financial freedom as well was a huge part of that. I'm continuing to build and do that really, again, because I think having a strong family unit, that's a part of it. And then being able to impact more people in local communities. So that's my vision, and that's the where to. I'm sure another book will come out of that at some point in time as well. I know that I feel that's on the cusp, but not right now, but soon.
Well, one thing at a time. Don't try and over deliver with things you can't follow through with. I love the 10X community, and I know Pete Vargas, and I know a couple of his sales guys. The coaching there is phenomenal. I've coached with some of him. I've personally been involved with Tony Robbins, Partnership, Gary Vee, and many others, but like Bob Proctor. There's so many. Jim Rohn, there's just so many to count. When you have collaborated with this level of personnel or people that are uber successful, they can pick up the phone and get a restaurant and whatever, a table in any restaurant, that sort of successful, these sort of successful people. Do you ever feel dwarfed, or do you feel as if you could aspire to be an asset to them?
Yeah, for me, I would rather be a small fish in a big pond than a big fish in a small pond, because there's no expansion. Where are you going to expand if you're a big fish in a small pond? You can't. Dwarfed, no. Intimidated, slightly. So because it makes me uncomfortable. I'm like, whoses, these people are like next level, but they're not. The thing that I love and that I've learned is this, that the people that you've mentioned, and again, I've studied with a lot of them also, they're so humble. So no, because of the humbleness, not intimidated or anything, no, or feeling like, oh, dwarfed, no, inspired, absolutely, because of their humbleness. And when people I've found, genuinely very successful people, simplify everything because they know how they have achieved that. And then because the truth is in simplicity, right? If someone's overcomplicating something, you definitely know that it is not true, because it's not that complicated. Like, success is not a complicated thing. It's not. It runs off basic truth. There's basic laws of life, right? Not easy, but simple. No, intimidated, definitely, but I don't mind that, because that's a stretch. That's going to stretch. Like, I have to stretch. I have to become more of who I am and go into new areas, which is one of my assets and faults, because everything's a double-edged sword, is I am driven by growth. Right? And if I'm not growing, I know from my own self, it's very detrimental to myself. I will find a game that is not very useful to my life. And I see that with a lot of people. If you're not playing a great game of creating or growing, you will play a game of destroying, because you're either growing or destroying. There's create or destroy. There's only those two things.
I love that. Is there anything else you'd like to share with the audience that you may find a bit of a benefit to them, or a call to action, whether you would like to send them to just to discover more about yourself?
Yeah, look, I think that no matter what, this is rising from the ashes, no matter what adversity you are facing right now, or it may just be that dissonance or the discord within you, something's not right and you need to change something. Listen to that. Listen to that internal voice or that intuition, because there's so much value in that. So trusting ourselves, trust yourself, and then back yourself as well, because sometimes you can't actually see the next step until you've taken the first one. Like, you won't necessarily see how it's going to unfold. So often we want security of how it's all going to unfold. Hold on to your vision, listen to your intuition, and step forward, because sometimes the rest is only unveiled when you can take that next step. And in terms of people finding me, the best way is either on my socials or my website. My website is thealisonwheeler.com, or my socials handle is thealisonwheelercoaching. So I would love people to reach out.
Awesome. Thank you very much for your time today and your love and dedication for what you do.
Thanks so much for having me, Biz.
You're welcome. For myself, thank you very much for joining me. Please share this message and inspire someone else's life. You never know, you may change their course and trajectory of what they're doing. From myself, have a blessed day, and thank you for watching Rise from the Ashes. See you soon.